Sultanism and Satanism. Then Satan stood up against Israel, and he stirred up David to count the people. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 1. A well-known theologian once described the inclination of David, from time to time, to increase the territory of his authority, and also to remove the nature of that authority from the basics of theocracy, as an inclination to become similar to a sultan. We all know the sultan as an oriental despot who allows too often his despotism to become the opposite of what a king in Israel is in the theocracy. In Israel, the king is king exactly because he has dominion over all, but at the same time he is also servant of all. For the king, as office bearer of God in the theocratic people, should be a prefiguration of the Christ, who later was to be king, but in poverty. Neither would he rule as a tyrant, but serve. He would not with flying colors establish a powerful kingdom without justice, but enter the city of God's covenant, riding on the foal of a donkey, in order to always practice justice in the kingdom of power. Now David had received a special calling to reveal as theocratic king exactly to the pagan East, also already in the interest of mission, the kingship in Israel as the counter-image of the sultanate. This calling was especially impressed upon him. For did not Saul's kingship precisely on this point cause shipwreck by a similar offense? The breach began when Saul, after having become king, also dared to sacrifice. The king enslaved the priest prophet. He assumed for himself all the offices. When Saul massacred a city of the priests, violated the oath of the Gibeonites, and in the end made himself a burden for his people by his tyranny and capriciousness, and chose for himself the scepter of a sultan instead of the staff of a shepherd, all of this became as many causes and reasons for Saul's destruction and rejection. Sultanism. For this reason, God the Lord placed David over against Saul, so that in him the kingship would be revealed, again as a kingship of Israel, theocratic and messianic. And undoubtedly, in his heart, David never thoroughly denied this calling. But there are, time and again, indications that he was faced with the temptation to sultanism. His sons once became priests. The danger of Saul already laid at the door. Uriah, his own protector, he ordered to be killed in a crafty manner. Soon the people were quite shocked in their trust in the king. Ahithophel held a grudge because the king revealed such an insolent inclination to sultanism. He committed suicide. Later, the counting of the people was added to all of this, which would in itself not have been a wicked act, if only it had been an administrational matter. But now it identified David's guilt most clearly, since it was his most powerful attempt at sultanism. For his intention was to compare his kingdom as a military nation to that of other nations. Here the king succumbed to that same danger that God had condemned in the people when it first asked for a king. David inclined here to the sin which had been the vitium originis, the original crime in Israel's crying for a king. He violated the theocratic messianic dignity, by which his people was fundamentally distinguished from all other nations. He had forgotten that, in the end, his weapons were not a sword, but prayer, and the keeping of the covenant with God. Sultanism. For in all these cases, particularly in the assassination of Uriah and the sin with Bathsheba, David violated the rights and freedom of the people, though he had guaranteed those after Saul's destruction. For did not the tribes of Israel make a covenant with David? They had thought that he was no despot as the one who had just died, but a shepherd who did not come to his position over the backs of his people, even less over their dead bodies, but who along the way of justice and peace had come to the shepherding that should be kingship, and to that kingship that should be shepherding. Sultanism. Ah, how deep were the furrows here ploughed? So deep that after the sultanic indulgence the cry is heard in Psalm 51, Do not take thy Holy Spirit away from me. Do not allow Satan to destroy my people and me until I am to be rejected. Later, after that counting of the people, God brought a judgment, a deadly plague, upon the people, which apparently had become synonymous with the king in the decay. The beautiful number suddenly shrunk. David's splendid army was decimated. He had looked for a broad army without depth. Now God did punish him in that broadness. But then repentance came, and from the depth came the cry, O God, do not let that people perish, but me. And behold, there the king was again in his theocratic place. Now he who possessed the most had become the servant of all. Now he no longer wanted to walk as a sultan over the dead bodies of his subjects, but caused the subjects to walk over the dead body of the king toward the new morning. An exegete has positively suggested that at that time Psalm 16 was born. Sultanism and Satanism. Let us never forget that these two always go together. Satan stirred the king so that the father of the Lord Christ would erase the image of Christ, his own son and Lord. And Satan would have been fully successful in this if not the Holy Spirit in David's Psalms and in his penitential prayers did not raise again the image of that messianic king, who was poor and did not ride ahead of an army of soldiers on a steed of battle, but sat on the foal of a donkey, in order to say later to God, Please let these sheep go, kill me, a king, poor and humble, and in that, the Savior.